Good morning, church.
It's
a great joy once again to be with you in the capacity of preaching but also worshiping God together. We shall continue on our series of studies in the Gospel according to Matthew. We are in Matthew chapter
8.
Matthew chapter 8, we read together from verse 5 to 13. Those using the Pew Bibles is page
813.
We'll only read in English. And he reads as following. When he entered Capernaum, that is Jesus, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion replied, "Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes. And to another, I say, 'Come,' and he comes. And to my servants, I say, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, "Truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. Last week we saw Jesus confronting the world and proving to all who he is. We saw his heart towards the needy. We saw that indeed this is the Son of God, the Messiah, who was to come into the world and heal his people from their sickness and diseases. The Messiah who was to come and save the lost.
And
leper came to him and he pleaded for help. He came to Jesus with great humility and desperation. And we saw Jesus that he was willing to help this leper. And he said to him, "I will. Be healed." Thereby Jesus displayed his power, and he taught his disciples a great lesson that Jesus can touch the untouchables, if you will. Teaching his disciples that there is no human condition which could deny Jesus his grace, how much he should put his hand out for those who need his hand. There we saw a perfect display of Christ's loving kindness and compassion to the needy. So what we're going to look at this morning is Jesus' account with the centurion who had a servant who was sick at home, yet Jesus did not go there to heal the servant, but the servant was healed. The Bible tells us that Jesus, when he entered Capernaum, he met with this centurion. And obviously this centurion had heard what Jesus had done before. So he decided to come to Jesus and plead with mercy, plead for the mercy that Jesus will heal his servant paralyzed at home. He comes to Jesus for mercy, listen, on behalf of someone else. Having seen then the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, his compassion, his mercy, his authority, his willingness to help the needy, so there are three features of great encouragement I want us to draw from our text this morning. Firstly, the centurion's amazing concern for others. Not himself, for others. Verse 5 and 6. My servant at home cannot move. Perhaps he cannot even bathe himself. He cannot take care of himself. He's even unable to come to Jesus by himself, like the leper we saw last week. He's in great pain. And that great pain, O Lord, causes me sorrow towards my servants. Here's a question. Does it concern you when those around you suffer ill health or when they lack anything? How far will you go out of your way to find help for those suffering around you? How many rivers will you cross for them? In this verse, we see the centurion's great humility, my friends, towards Jesus Christ. And you will see what I mean by that when it says, when I say great humility. He comes to Jesus on behalf of someone else, not himself. This is such an amazing account, friends. This person has nothing to gain by coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. It was very simple for him. He could replace this servant. He had money. Yet he humbled himself before the Lord Jesus Christ for the sake of someone else. Of course, friends, the common view today is that only the poor should come to Jesus with humility. Only the poor should beg the Lord Jesus Christ. People think that only those who are affected by situation should crawl to the mercy seat of the Lord Jesus Christ, as it were. But here is a man of status, a man with a high position of power in society. A man who earned a decent salary. A man who didn't have to beg for anything. A man who was trusted by many for security and for help. People could come and ask help from him. Yet he humbled himself in need of Jesus' help. Friends, we are told this is a centurion. Let me explain briefly what we are talking about here. A centurion was a very high-ranked officer in the Roman army, a great army in the world at the time. He possessed all authority of the emperor. I will equal him to the Minister of Defense today. He reports directly to the president. Such was this Roman centurion. He was a well-respected man of society, especially in Rome. He was a feared man among the Jews. When you disrespected this man, it was the same as dishonoring the emperor. But look what he does here. He places himself under Jesus Christ. He calls him Lord. He calls him senior and higher ranked than he.
A centurion,
friends, was an officer who had over 100 well-trained soldiers under his authority. This particular centurion was looking after an area, that place called Capernaum, where Jesus came from, where people rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He was looking after that area. Why is that important? Capernaum had a main road that led to Damascus. There was a lot of traffic there. There was a lot of crime there. So he had to be a man of great power. So this man, of course, amen. But also, not just the main road to Damascus, there was a highway linking to Egypt. So all the people from Africa who traveled in that road, there was so much crime, like now going to Mozambique or Zimbabwe or Malawi, crossing Bay Bridge. There's so much that is happening. You had to have an officer like this there. A man of intelligence and wisdom. So there was a need of a military presence in that area, friends. You needed to be a soldier who has won victories before you become an officer. And when you become an officer, you needed to continue in wisdom to lead the army. It was not like in our day to day, you can have somebody who was a minister of education and he becomes a minister of the army. No, you had to have a rank before. You had to have people, victories in your name. What am I trying to say? This man had great influence and power. This man knew every scam there is. He understood the criminal minds of people from Damascus and criminal minds of people from Egypt and vice versa. It was impossible for this man to fall for any scam.
Yet,
he came to the Lord Jesus Christ. When he heard about Jesus Christ, he humbled himself and appeared before him on behalf of his
servants.
He cared so much about his servants that he had to humiliate himself. Humanly speaking, what do I mean? That he humiliated himself. humanly speaking. It was not expected for a Roman soldier to bow to a Jew. He humiliated himself by seeking help from a Jew, by seeking help from his enemy, by seeking help from people that he disrespected all his life.
The question
was, how far will you go seeking for help for the ones that you love? How much will you be concerned about the people who are next to you? Here is a Roman soldier bowing before a Jewish person. He humbled himself in the sight of the Lord, knowing and having the faith that he will be lifted up. Church, it is easy today to seek help for yourself. It is easy to seek help for your wife and for your brother. It is easy today to see someone else who is sick and never be concerned or be little concerned. The Bible says his servant was sick. Notice, he didn't say his brother or his sister or his son. His servant was sick. Let me explain to you. This is the person who is bought. This is a slave. This is a foreigner, if you will. But Matthew suggests that this servant was dearly loved. He was loved like a son. The Bible tells us that the servant got paralyzed and the situation became desperate and painful. He says he was tormented and suffering greatly or terribly. Notice, friends, this centurion had nowhere else to go. With so much money that he possessed, he didn't have anywhere else to go. There was nothing extraordinary that he could do. There was nothing extraordinary that could be done for this person. There was no doctor to help. There was nothing that money could buy. There was nothing that connection could buy. You know, these days people are connected. But this man was connected even to the emperor, but connection could not help him at this time. Jesus was the only help. Jesus was the only hope, my friends. Which leaves me the question, friends. I wonder what is our hope for our loved ones in times of need and in times of pain and in times of distress. What is our hope? I wonder if we try everything else first, then when all else fails, then we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially the Africans. They like to try something first, then when all else fails, then they give in to the idea that there is a God in heaven. What is your first move? Is Jesus your only hope, my friend? In every situation, do you start with him or do you only end with him? Do you start with him and end with him, or you've got another start but then you will end by him? Is Jesus your last resolution, my friend? Do you exhaust all that you have, then give in to the Lord? Or you start there? Because that is the attitude that is out there. But also, my friend, I wonder if you have a deep concern, a deep personal interest for those who care for you. Remember, this centurion servant was someone who took care of the household of this centurion when he was out there defending and bringing security in the nation. Do you have a deep concern for those who care for you? He had a personal concern for his servant. And I think we get to be amazed here because of such humility and care. But as we get amazed that a man will do so much for just a servant, we are also being taught that Jesus is actually attracted more to the people who are concerned by other people's concern. Another thing to notice. The centurion was a Gentile, was a non-Jew, he was an outsider. But because of such a concern to someone else, Jesus, God attracted to this man. Jesus did not care, my friends, about the discrimination that was happening between the Jews and the Romans. Even today, Jesus doesn't care about the racial discrimination happening in our country. As long as you come to him, Jesus is ready to help you. He didn't care about the Romans' oppression over the Jews. He refused to embrace this cultural dividing line between the people. Here is something for you to notice as you are looking at your Bible. Jesus, a Jew, was willing to go to a house of a Roman. That is something else, friends. A Jew will not go to a house of a Gentile. It was considered ceremonial uncleanness. They were not even allowed to eat the Gentile's food. They were not drinking with the same cups and eating with the same plates. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ willing. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ willing to go to such a house. Because why? This man has a deep concern for someone else. He humiliates himself for someone else. He humbled himself for someone else. He cares about other people, not himself. Friends, this Gentile soldier humbled himself. Do we humble ourselves? Friends, he downranked himself to a Jew who had just fishermen as a following. This man believed that Jesus was a great commander of a greater army. His eyes were opened to see that this Jesus is God in the flesh. He realized that this is the only man who could command a storm to be still. Jesus is the only man who can calm the storms, my friends. He's the only man who can calm the waves of the sea. He's the only man who can command demons to flee to pigs. Jesus is the man. Friends, he believed. He had Jesus in the center of his mind and heart. He knew that Jesus alone can touch a leper and his sickness, his incurable disease, could be healed. What are we learning? What are you learning? Jesus is the only man in whom we must humble ourselves. We must humble ourselves before Jesus, regardless of our status and influence in society. He says to this, when Jesus, he says to this man, I will come and heal him. Listen to do this. I'm not worthy that you may come under my roof. Friends, this was the greatest opportunity for this man to be popular. Many of us today want Jesus to walk to our house. This man says, Lord, I am not worthy. Friends, I wonder if we know that we are unworthy sinners before the Lord. Do we know that we don't even deserve His grace upon our lives? We don't even deserve fellowship with Him because of our sin. We don't deserve help from Him. We don't deserve to have him in this tent. I don't even recall what I see. Yet Jesus comes to be between us, to be among us. Jesus stretches his hand to those who need him. This centurion, if he was John the Baptist, he would have said, Lord, I'm not even worthy to untie your sandals. If he was a tax collector in prayer, he was going to be looking down, beating his breast. Lord, I'm not even worthy to look unto heaven and call upon your name. What is your attitude towards the Lord Jesus Christ? How do you come to him when you need help? Are you humble, my friend? Oh, friends, I wonder if you see yourself as unworthy before the Lord. Will you forget your status as a person and cry out to the Lord publicly on behalf of others as well? Cry for those who are closer to you. Lord Jesus, have mercy on my friends. Have mercy on those at work with me. Have mercy, O God. Bless your hands, touch them. Lift up your voice unto the Lord, my friends. Be concerned about someone else. Be concerned to the point whereby you stand in the gap for them. Praying for them. Secondly, is the centurion's amazing faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's concerned about his friends. He's concerned about those around him. But now, when you get to be concerned, what is it that you must possess so that Jesus Christ may help you? The centurion's amazing faith on the Lord, verse 7 to 10. It reads as following again, just to remind you.
Verse 7,
and he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I say to one, go, and he goes. I say to another, come, and he comes. And my servants, I say to them, do this, and they die. They do it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled. And he said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. The Lord bless his word. Friends, The faith that Jesus is talking about this morning is simply trusting on the Lord Jesus Christ. No rocket science. Trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. Seeing that your answer is only in the Lord Jesus Christ. But also letting Jesus to decide what the answer should be.
I
don't know if you caught that. Seeing or believing that your answer is in the Lord. That's easy. But trusting that He alone has the answer. That sometimes is also easy. What about letting Jesus to decide what the answer should be? That is the difficult part today. Letting Jesus to decide what the answer should be. Letting Jesus be God. Letting His sovereign power to do whatever He wills in your life. Friends, if you don't have amazing concern and great humility for other people, you will not have amazing faith. Your faith won't be amazing. So after this centurion requests Jesus to heal his paralyzed servant, he says to the Lord Jesus Christ, it was not necessary for Jesus to come where the sick man was. Jesus, you don't have to come where the sick man is.
But
here's something important. The Bible says, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. This man had such faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of His word, in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. He understood that Jesus Christ's word is everything that we need in all circumstances.
In
every situation. That is what we need. Why? Because Jesus has the power and authority over spiritual powers and dominions. Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God. The Bible tells us that He is the firstborn of all creation. All things was made by Him and through Him. And nothing in this world stands outside the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. The centurion didn't know that. But faith taught him that. Faith taught him the truth. That is why, church, all those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they understand real authority and real power. Those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they know who has the last word in every situation, in all things, whose word stands. The Bible tells us that the centurion was a man of authority. He had people under him that he was commanding at all, at any given time. People who obeyed him. As you look at the Lord Jesus Christ, looking at the Son of God, walking down the dusty streets of Jerusalem, making his way to Capernaum. Thieves walking and crossing by him. He looks at this man. He says, I have so much power. If I have so much power, how much power is in that man? This man has got the greatest power. But friends, what I want to tell you, what is revealed to us here? It is not enough to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is good, it is necessary, but it is not enough to have faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. You must believe in the power of the word. People who does not believe in the power of the word, they miss out on the Lord's blessings. Because all his blessings have been spoken and written to us in his word. You need to believe in the power of the word of the Lord. Believing in the power of this word reminded the centurion that he himself could command things. Yet there was a man more superior than him. A man so superior that the sickness and demons obeyed him. They were subject to him. Yet he didn't have to touch all the time. He only had to say the word. This is very beautiful and good for us, church. Because today you will not have the physical touch of the Lord Jesus Christ as he touched the leper last week. You will not have it. But what do you have? You have the word. If he says, I will be clean, you are clean. This man believed in the power. So if sickness and demons listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, then we realize then that not only those who have physical ears to hear him now, but even those far from him, as this servant was far, can be healed if there is someone standing in faith on his behalf. There must be someone standing on behalf by faith. We are told in this number 10, as we are looking at this amazing faith, that Jesus was actually amazed by this man, by when he said, say the word. The Bible tells us that this man's faith surpassed every faith that Jesus ever came across in the land of Israel. It doesn't say Jesus never found faith in Israel. Yes, he did find little faith, but this was his faith. So, what is amazing faith all about? Amazing faith is the faith that believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the Son of God, greater than any known calamity in this world. Amazing faith is all about believing that Jesus Christ is the promised Messiah who was to come into the world and save his people and heal them from all their diseases and infirmities. Amazing faith is all about believing that Jesus' word is all that we need in times of pain, sorrow, and suffering. His word is all that you need for your salvation. It is all that you need for your restoration. It is all that you need for your peace with God, peace with your friends, and the peace of mind. This word is all you need for your marriage that is breaking. This word is all that we need to build his church. Because of his word, not a miracle, because of his word, we have brothers from Malawi, Zimbabwe, Nigeria, Lesotho, everywhere, South Africa, and because of his word, not miracle. That is what amazing faith is all about. Believing that God can even save those who are worse sinners among us. It is to have living hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. What does amazing faith do? It amazes the Lord. What do I mean by that? It believes Christ's word before that word accomplish what the word is about to accomplish. Jesus makes a promise. Amazing faith goes forward and look back and say that promise will happen. It amazes Christ because it believes the word before it materializes.
This man believed.
He believed that if Jesus would say a word, the servant would be healed. He believed before the servant was healed. There are two things that amazes or marvel the Lord Jesus Christ in the Bible too. You find it here in Matthew chapter 8, the faith of the centurion. And in Matthew 15 also, another faith of a Gentile. That is faith. But the second thing that amazes the Lord Jesus Christ, you find it in Mark chapter 5.
Chapter 6, verse 5 and 6.
What you find there? Lack of faith in the people of Nazareth. The Bible says Jesus was amazed that after he had performed so much miracle, the people did not believe.
Lack of faith.
Amazes the Lord. It is quite simple and clear, friends, that even today, then the Lord Jesus Christ stands in amazement. The question is, is he amazed that you lack faith, or is he amazed that you have faith in him even when the odds are against your faith? But there's something that amazing faith doesn't do. What is it that amazing faith will not do? It's great and needed as it is, but it will not heal anybody. Outside the Lord Jesus Christ. This man had faith in himself. He had faith on the Lord. But still his faith didn't heal his servants. Until he came to the Lord and said, speak the word. Amazing faith. Outside the word, will do nothing. You need Jesus' hands. You need Jesus' touch. You need his word. But on the third thing, which is lastly, I want us to look at Jesus' response to amazing faith. How does Jesus respond to amazing faith? Verse 11 to 13. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into utter darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus Christ says, you go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at the very moment. Friends, the centurion asked for something which was humanly impossible. We understand healing. Jesus healed a leper last week, but the centurion is asking Jesus to just say a word. Humanly impossible. Yet Jesus Christ responded with an amazing response to him.
What
we see first, that he speaks to him through those who were there. The Bible says, Jesus said to those who followed him,
he
said to them, I've never seen such faith in all of Israel.
So what we see here,
what we learn here, the first thing is that amazing faith identify the citizens of heaven. What Jesus is saying to us is that there will be many people who will possess such faith and they will find themselves in the kingdom of heaven. We see here a foreshadow of the preaching of the gospel throughout the world, whereby people like you and I will believe and be ushered in into the kingdom of God.
That's the first thing.
You need amazing faith to find yourself in the kingdom of heaven. But another thing that you see, secondly, without this amazing faith, many will be lost. He says, the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into utter darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. His response gives courage and hope to believing Gentiles, but it warns unbelieving Jews. He warns those who enjoyed the privileges of being called the sons of God. He says to them, they will find themselves in utter darkness. Friends, without faith, we will be lost. I think we must all be reminded. This is a reminder to us all that salvation is for those, only those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, whether they are Jew or Gentiles. But we are also reminded here of the agony of hell. The agony of hell. He says, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, lack of faith and disbelieving the word of the Lord is not a small sin. Friends, hell is not a joke. But the third thing that I want us to see is that amazing faith gives an amazing response. Jesus, he now turns to the centurion and he says to him, go, let it be done to you according to what we have believed. Here's the amazing faith. It gets an amazing response. Jesus didn't have to go there. He says, go. What does the Bible tell us? In verse 13, the servant was healed in the very same moment. Here is what we need to learn here. Jesus touched the leper. But it is not a formula that everybody needs to be touched before he is healed. Jesus sends his weight. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That is the truth. But what I want us to see as well, if we have faith, Jesus does not discriminate. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. He doesn't look what you have in your pocket, what you don't have in your pocket. If you have faith and you are asking on behalf of someone, Jesus will not ask you about the faith of the person in need.
He
didn't ask the centurion, does your servant have faith in me? Jesus doesn't care about the faith of the sick sometimes. As long as there's someone, I'm going to say it, friends, as long as there's someone standing, interceding for the sick, someone who believes and who has faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe. We need to keep the faith. Friends, if you have faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, it will be done to you. The only thing that you need to have residing in your heart is that you must remember, without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith there will be no amazing response in your life. Without faith there will be no words of encouragement that will say, go, let it be done to you as you have believed. Without faith, there will be no testimony that will say, in that very moment, the servant was healed. I close like this. Friends, you need to know how to submit to greater authority. As Africans, we think that there's another authority. There is no other authority. Jesus is the only authority. There's no authority in the angels, there's no authority kubodimo, the ancestors. The authority is in Christ. Submit under right authority. Learn from the centurion. He submitted under the authority of Christ. Exercise faith on behalf of others. Friends, it is time that you move on from the attitude of a leper to the attitude of the centurion, whereby you believe and pray for others, knowing that Jesus is able to touch even those far off. Jesus is able to restore anyone's life or anybody's healing. He was able to bring it as long as we stand in the gap for
him.
In times of crisis, in times of great pain and perplexity, in times of great distress, you need to trust in the word of the Lord. It is all that you need. Have faith in him, because amazing faith pleases the Lord. Amazing faith brings about great blessings and promises and deliverance from the Lord Jesus Christ.
Will
you go back home, study your word, and work on your amazing faith? Then you will amaze the Lord Jesus Christ. Even those around you will be healed, will be touched, will be saved because of you. The Lord continue to bless us. Let us pray.
We thank you, O Lord, for your word. We are amazed by it, that you did not put this word here by mistake, O Lord. You knew that we will read it. You will give us wisdom to preach it, O Lord, that you will want us to learn from it. How this man who did not know anything about you, who was not a Jew, who was not raised in the law of Moses, O Lord, could have such faith in you. How so us, O Lord, whose eyes have been opened by your word, who have been saved, how more so, O Lord, are we supposed to have faith in you?
Mm.
Help us, O Lord, to repent from this unbelief.
Yes.
To not stand in the presence of you, O Lord, on behalf of others, to pray for them, for their salvation, for their healing, O Lord, for their eyes to be open to see that indeed you are the Messiah. Indeed you are the one who came to save them. Help us, O Lord, to have the faith of this centurion. Help us, O Lord, to trust in your word. Even though we do not see you, O Lord, but to believe that indeed you have not changed. You are the same today. You will be the same forever. So help your children, O Lord, even those who are sick that we do not see even this morning, to trust in you. Even for us, O Lord, to trust for our families' lives, those who do not know you, that indeed one day you can open the eyes like you have opened ours. That indeed we can have a testimony that even at that moment they were healed in their soul. So bless us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.